and the whole ceiling, pillars, walls, floors, statues, covered from top to bottom with a splendid colouring of blue and gold, which, already somewhat tarnished at the time we beheld it, was almost entirely buried in dust and cobwebs. Now figure to yourself that immense oblong hall, illumined by the dim light of a January day, stormed by a motley and noisy crowd pouring in along the walls and circling round the pillars, and you will have a faint idea of the general outline of the picture, the curious details of which we shall endeavour to delineate more precisely. One of the extremities of this prodigious parallelogram was occupied by the famous marble table, of a single piece, so long, so broad, and so thick that, as the ancient terriers say, in a style that might have given an appetite to Gargantua, never was there seen in the world a slice of marble to match it, and the other by the chapel where Louis XI placed his own effigy kneeling before the Virgin. In the middle of the hall, opposite to the great door, an enclosed platform lined with gold brocade backed against the wall, and to which there had been made a private entrance by means of a window from the passage to the gilded chamber, was erected expressly for the Flemish envoys and the other distinguished personages invited to the representation of the mystery. On this marble table, according to established usage, the mystery was to be performed. Arrangements for this purpose had been made early in the morning. The rich marble floor, scratched all over by the heels of the clerks of the Bezoche, supported a cage of woodwork of considerable height, the upper floor of which, exposed to view from every part of the hall, was to serve for the stage, while the lower, masked by hangings of tapestry, formed a sort of dressing-room for the actors. Four sergeants of the bailiff of Paris, whose duty it was to superintend all the amusements of the people, as well on festivals as on days of execution, were stationed, one at each corner of the marble table. Now, the whole assembled multitude had been waiting ever since the morning. Many of these honest, sight-loving folks had, indeed, been shivering from daybreak before the steps of the palace. Nay, some declared that they had passed the night under the great porch to make sure of getting in. The crowd increased every moment, and like water that rises above its level, began to mount along the walls and to swell about the pillars. Accordingly, the weariness, the impatience, the freedom of a day of license, the quarrels occasioned every moment by a sharp elbow or a hobnailed shoe, and the tediousness of long waiting gave, long before the hour at which the ambassadors were to arrive, a sharp, sour tone to the clamour of the populace, kicked, cuffed, jostled, squeezed, and wedged together almost to suffocation. There was, among others, a knot of young scholars, who, after knocking the glass out of one of the windows, had boldly seated themselves on the entablature. These young clerks felt none of the weariness and ennui which overpowered the rest of the assembly, and they well knew how to extract from the scene before them sufficient amusement to enable them to wait patiently for the promised spectacle. At this moment the clock struck 12. "Aha!" said the whole assembled multitude with one voice. The scholars were mute, and there ensued a prodigious bustle, a general movement of feet and heads, a grand detonation of coughing and handkerchiefs. Each individual took his station and set himself to rights. Profound silence succeeded. Every neck was outstretched, every mouth open, every eye fixed on the marble table. But nothing was to be seen save the four sergeants of the bailiff, who still stood there, stiff and motionless as four painted statues. Every face then turned towards the platform reserved for the Flemish ambassadors. The door remained shut and the platform empty. The crowd had been waiting ever since morning for three things: noon, the Flanders embassy, and the mystery. Noon alone had been punctual to its time. This was rather too bad. They waited 1, 2, 3, 5 minutes, a quarter of an hour. Nothing came. Not a creature appeared either on the platform or on the stage. Meanwhile, impatience grew into irritation. Angry words were circulated, at first, it is true, in a low tone. A storm, which as yet only rumbled at a distance, began to gather over the crowd. It was the young clerk, Johannes Frollo de Molendino, also called Jean Dumoulin, for his arms and legs were exactly like the four sails of a windmill, who drew from it the first spark. "The mystery, and let the Flemings go to the devil!" shouted he with all his might, twisting like a snake about his capital. The crowd clapped their hands. "The mystery!" they repeated, "and send Flanders to all the devils! Let us instantly..."